Okay. I can start.
Okay, welcome. Welcome for Zion's Sake Ministries here in Bristol, Virginia. We're also across the line from Tennessee, Bristol, Tennessee. We welcome you this morning. If you're live streaming, we appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoy the service today. We'll have a tour portion. We'll also have a little talk about Purim, which is will be celebrated tonight. It's a very joyous one-day event in Israel that's celebrated, and we'll talk just a little bit about that this morning. Rabbi Rebitson and the sons are out on a little bit of spring break, vacation, getting some rest, so we bless them this morning and hope they're having a good time and have a safe trip when they return. I think they're coming back maybe tomorrow, so we invite you just to entertain with our service this morning, and we'll get started. It'll be just a little different type of service, so.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. This blessing unto you, a special kind of peace, unlike the kind you might have heard about. There might even be war, but in the presence of the Lord, there is comfort in every situation. Shalom, shalom. The blessing of shalom, 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 sha, 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 shalom. Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Messiah. He is, his name is Salvation, Yeshua. Let's all say Yeshua.
Yeshua.
And he revealed himself as the Messiah of Israel. Hallelujah. God did what he said he was going to do from the beginning of time, that he would bring a way for us to be with him forever, regardless of the of the plans against humanity. God won. Amen.
Yes.
And now we can be with him. So let's bless the Messiah today.
Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach
Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua.
Amen. Oh, Aleha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob.
Your house,
there I will bow Lord, I love the house where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Okay, Vishamru.
Vishamru, Vnei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasom Et HaShabbat, Ledoratum Barit Olam. Vishamru, Vnei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasom Et HaShabbat, Ledoratum Barit Olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, o'di le'olam. B'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorot ha-marit olam. Kisheshad yamim, asa Adonai, eshmaim veharetz. Veshamru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lason et ha-shabbat, ledoratam barit olam. Yom HaShavi, Shabbat V'Anafash, Shabbat V'Anafash, Shabbat V'Anafash. V'Shamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lason Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam.
Hallelujah. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing Osei Shalom. And Margaret, do we have a fresh candle. Would you come and light the candle for the hostages this morning? I appreciate it while we sing Osei Shalom.
Osei Shalom Bim Roma. Who yase shalom aleinu, ve'yam kol Yisrael, ve'imru, imru, amen. Use shalom bimromah, who yase shalom aleinu.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. May he who makes peace in the high places make peace for Israel also and for all amen. Mankind and say amen.
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 right now. Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for Israel this morning. We ask that you join in us as we pray this morning. Israel is winning the war, but not according to the news media. They're saying they're getting beat, but they're actually winning the war because God is on their side, and they're going to win. They're going to destroy Hamas and Hezbollah. They're all going to be destroyed at some point. And so support Israel. Don't listen to the news and listen to where they want to continuously slam Israel and the Jewish people. It's not happening. And the government can't force Israel to change their leadership. God puts people in leadership, and he takes people out of leadership. And right now, God has his chosen one in leading the land of Israel, just like the President of the United States. He was chosen to lead the American people. So let's support him and not listen to those that want to be negative against the Jewish people, because God's in control. There's chosen people. And Israel and Jerusalem is the land of God. That's God's territory. So we can't change with some type of a governmental policy or something, or somebody just wants to influence the Jewish people. They're standing united, and they know they must get rid of Hamas out of the land, because that is Amalek, and they've already spoken that they got to get rid of Amalek. It's in the scriptures, and it's happening right now. So let's pray for Israel this morning. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning for the land of Israel, for your chosen land, your chosen people, Lord. We ask that you'll bless them. We ask that the hostages, Lord, be returned home to their loved ones, Lord, and just make them safe where they're at, Lord. Make their captives not be mean to them, Lord, and just understand that they're Jewish people, and they're serving for God, and not to bother them today, Lord. Give them a day of rest on the Shabbat, Lord. We just pray today that they'll be returned, Lord. We ask that our government will further support Israel and give them the finances that they need to continue with this oppression that's going on in Israel right now. We just pray for all our Messianic communities this morning, Lord, that you will bless them, anoint their services today, Lord. Give them a great time of worship. Give them a great Purim service today, Lord. We just ask all of thee, bless our congregation this morning, Lord. Bless our Rabbi and Rebbetzin and their sons as they're traveling and enjoying their vacation and coming back home. And we just pray that you'll anoint them and give them a safe passage back to Bristol, back to school. And in Yeshua's name we pray this morning, Lord. Amen.
A glorious throne on high, from ages beginning, is the place of our sanctuary, O Lord, the home of Israel. And your gates will be open continually, not closed day or night, so that men shall bring you the wealth of the nations with kings led in procession. And the sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, bowing to you, bowing to you, and call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel.
Y'all stand for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Bless is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Yamud Asher Ben Gedekiah, La Torah, Baku Edonai Hamvara, Ruka Adonai Hamvarak Vel Ned, Baruka Tadonai Elohim Yumelech Olam, Asher Mech Economy Kohadamin, Nitnaftin Lano Et Torto, Baruka Tadonai, Notain My Torah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us small peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. And you can be seated this morning. Today's Torah portion is a new book. It's Leviticus, Vayikra, and it means that he called. It's from Leviticus 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 26. And the half Torah is Isaiah chapter 43, 21 through 44. The Torah is an eternal and timeless book, writings from God, God's words. They are holy. And the Torah tells us how we should live our lives after we have accepted Yeshua as our personal Savior. It tells you how to live your life and how to do the things that God wants us to do that are pleasing in his sight. Leviticus is the center of the Torah. There's two books on the left, there's two books on the right, so it's a centerpiece. This is the book that Yeshua preached from during most of his ministry. He used the book of Leviticus. Anytime you see Lev in a word, it means heart, and that's what Leviticus means. It means the heart of the Torah. It's different than the other books, the other four books, because it tells us about the Korbanot, which is the sacrifice system that God gave Moses to instill for the Jewish people. And if you know anything about Korbanot or Korban, is like a sacrifice, it means these were done in the temple and in the tabernacle. And the word Korbanot means to draw near unto God. That's what it happens. In biblical times, when you took an offering to the temple, you went through a gate, and that path that led to the altar of sacrifice was called the way. And when you walked the way, you took, like, your lamb, let's say, for the sacrifice, and it would be put on the altar. Then you would be required to tell what your sins were and profess them with your hands upon the animal that was being sacrificed. And then the animal would be sacrificed, and the blood would be shed from that animal. We will observe sacrifices in the third temple. It's coming. They've already tried to do that in Israel a couple of times on Passover to sacrifice a lamb. But right now they haven't been able to get government permission to do that. But God is saying, for my sake, Shemed means for my sake, that the sacrifices were done. Right now they do have Levitical priests that are trained along with chief Kohen to serve in the third temple when it is built. They have the blueprints and everything, all the garments and the things, the table of shewbread, the menorah, all those things are already prepared and sitting in Jerusalem, ready for the third temple to be created, and those items will be put into that third temple. Vayikra, God is telling you, it starts with an Aleph, which is the first letter in the alphabet, and it tells us God still speaks to us in a small voice. Sometimes his voice, it's almost unintelligible as far as understanding what he's saying, but God uses that to tell us that he can be very small with us, or he can be like a raging river, or an earthquake or a lightning storm. That can be God also. You know, all the times that Moses went to see God, he was always summoned. He never went on his own like Aaron's two sons that died because they went into the Holy of Holies. God didn't summons them, and that's where we got the mikvah of you only come once a year, and that was on Yom Kippur, that you go into the Holy of Holies. The sacrifice, there's five types of sacrifices in the Old Testament or in the Torah that pertain to the sacrifices. The first one, and I'll give you a little bit coverage, a little bit about what the sacrifices are. The first one is called the Olaf. That is the burnt sacrifice. The Minka is the meal sacrifice. The Shalim, that means peace. Hutat means that is the sin sacrifice. And Asham, that is the guilt sacrifice. The Olah is a sacrifice that all of it would be consumed and it would go to heaven as a sweet savor unto the Lord when he would see the sacrifice of the Olah and the odor that would come from it. It was a voluntary sacrifice. And just remember, it was totally consumed, just like Yeshua, totally. All these represent Yeshua. Of course, the whole scriptures represent him. But Yeshua gave himself totally to the Heavenly Father. He was totally dedicated, totally given unto the Heavenly Father. The Minka is the flour, the oil, and the frankincense. That was more of a gift offering. And the flour represents Yeshua. Flour is, of course, white, and it represents a sinless and a perfect life. It represents our existence. It's because of his death to heaven, for us to go to heaven. The oil represents the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that is a comforter. That's what it's called, the comforter. It's a comforter to you in times of distress and things that are going on in your life. It's good to call out to the Holy Spirit and have him come and minister to you. The frankincense tells us about the fragrance of Yeshua's life. It was to the joy. You know, I'm often reminded when just before Yeshua and Passover, before he was sacrificed, one of the ladies brought a spiker of oil, a frankincense oil, a very, very expensive perfume, and she anointed Yeshua's body from his head all the way to his feet. And I often think when he was hanging on the cross, he could still smell the perfume that she had anointed him with. I always think that I believe that oil was so pungent that it didn't like die off in an hour or two. It stayed with him even through all the punishment that he went through. He could still smell the joy, the joy of the oil that was poured upon him to anoint his body for his death. You see, Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means Bethlehem. It means house of bread. And so also Bethlehem has another name. It is called Midal Gedor, and that means the watchtower over the anointed one of the flock of Israel. So that tells us again, that's in Micah chapter 4. That gives us again an idea of that, you know, these biblical names are just, God has a purpose and a plan for everything that he has out there. And just like Bethlehem, that was all scheduled and set up by God that he would be born at the house of bread because he is the bread of life. That's Yeshua. The Shalem, that is the Shalom, it's short for Shalom, and that was an animal that the fat, the blood, and the kidneys were removed and they were burned on the altar. The peace offering was one that the right shoulder and the breast were removed and not burnt in the fire, but they were removed and they were eaten by the priest and the person that brought the Shalem offering. It was consumed. So that tells us that God is a God of fellowship, that between man and God there's a fellowship. And there's a wedding that's coming that's going to be a celebration that's going to be just like none other before, because we will celebrate the marriage of the Lamb with Yeshua, and there will be a great banquet on that day. So that will be like the Shalem, except God will preside over that, and it will be a great time of fellowship between us and the Heavenly Father and Yeshua. That's coming. The Hutot was the sin offering. That was the, it was the entire, the animal was sacrificed. And it tells us a lot about, the Hutot was for, was a punishment because of the sin that the person had. It meant that there was punishment. And that's why a lot of people say, well, why do they have all those sacrifices? And I mean, if you went, if you was at the temple, you would have seen it was like a slaughterhouse. There was a lot, there was so much blood. If you can read back and study some of the antiquities of Israel, you'll see that they built canals to let the blood flow off the Temple Mount down below. That's how much blood was on a daily basis because there was so much sacrifices. But why would God, because our scripture tells us that God did not ask for sacrifices, but he asked for us to serve and to honor him and to do what he says. But why did he want this? What's the purpose of having the sacrifice system? And that's going to be a problem when we get to the millennial reign, because there again we're going to see sacrifices are going to start occurring before that happens. But you know, it's because God won't sacrifice tells us what are the results of sin. That's what sacrifice is about. It tells us that something innocent has to die for our remissions. But the sacrifices that they did was a forerunner. It was a shadow, an example of the sacrifice of Yeshua. That's what it's leading up to. Because note that the scripture is very clear. It says the blood of bulls and goats and animals cannot remove the sin from your body. It's only a covering, just like on Yom Kippur. It's just a covering, like what's on the matzah this morning. But once you take the covering off, you see the sin is still there. It only took, it took the blood of the lamb to remove the sins totally from your body. The animal sacrifice was just an example that God was giving us, that the sacrifice has to be given for the remission of the sin. But he didn't move it because God was taking us to the initial, the last sin that God would use, and that would be his son, would bear all the sins that we have encountered throughout eternity. That's amazing how many people that would be. All of, it's not just at the time he was there, it's all the sins from Adam and Eve all the way to the last person that exists upon the earth. The last one is the Hashem. That was the blood fat was removed and burned on the altar. And this was a sacrifice that you were pertaining to, like you thought maybe you had committed a sin. But if you found out later on that you had committed a sin, you had to go back to the Hutot and make a sacrifice there for the sin that you had committed. And so on this one, this represents, the Hashem tells us that Yeshua, like I said, is the one that was sacrificed for our sins and also our transgressions against God. That was the purpose or the example of the Ahasham sacrifice. And on that one, a fifth part was added, monetary value was added to the sacrifice that brought glory to God and blessings to man. You know, when before Yeshua was sacrificed at Golgotha, there was a ransom, a price was paid that was given to one of the disciples to betray Yeshua. So a price, they paid a price for him. Just like with the Asham, there was a price to be paid for the sacrifice. And that's exactly what happened to Yeshua. With the Asham sacrifice, it means, just like when Yeshua sacrificed, it means Am Segula, which means the price has been paid in full. There's no additional price or money that has to be collected. It means that's what he said when he was dying. The price has been paid in full. That's what it means. Full satisfaction beyond any legal obligation. It was totally and completely paid at that point. And it, you know, back in biblical times when they put you in prison and you completed your sentence and they released you, they would give you a paper that would say the same thing, that you had completed your time and you were free and there was no further obligation that you had to go back into prison. They would put that on the outside of your door, and when you were released from prison,